We'll turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. I want to talk to you today about storms. My subject is look for the rainbow. Look for the rainbow. Joan Tedder, Walt Watson, Bertha Skinner, and many others of you, you have been going through a great storm. These individuals have been fighting for their health. But we know that Jesus is our healer. Hallelujah. It seems like that once things improve, another storm comes their way. The storms of life are real. And they're going to come, but God does not desert us in the storm. Our nation has been in a great storm with COVID-19 and the pandemic. Never before has the entire world been on lockdown. Never before have healthy people been in quarantine. Never before have the borders of so many countries been closed. Never before have the streets of some of our major cities been controlled by mob violence. No matter what the storm or how great the storm, I want to tell you something. Don't give up, because God does not desert us in the storm. I had a preacher friend several years ago told me this, and I preached this message in a different way. I'm using the title again. But he told me this story. He said a storm hit his neighborhood, and he told his 8-year-old son, he said, that was a devastating storm. He said, son, we've got a lot of cleanup and a lot of work to do. Son, that was a bad storm. And a little 8-year-old boy looked up at his daddy, and he said, Daddy, have you looked for the rainbow yet? Friend, if you're in a great storm this morning, this message is for you. Noah and his family had been through the storm of their life. Water had covered the entire earth, and it had devastated everything. But the Bible says, and God remembered Noah. If God remembered Noah, guess what? God remembers you. And God knows where you are, and God knows who you are, and God can solve your problems. Look at Genesis 9 and 8 and following. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And look at this promise. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by water of a flood, neither shall there be any more of a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant, which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you of perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token for a covenant between me and the earth. 1, 2, 3, 4 times God spoke about his covenant in those verses. And you and I, we have a covenant with God. This is one of them, but the oldest covenant is the blood covenant. And Jesus cut a blood covenant, and he did that so we would know that no matter what storms come our way, we are going to make it. So no matter what storm you're going through, and no matter how black things may be, God is with you, and your God will deliver you. The trials of our faith, they are precious to God, and God has a plan. No matter what the trial, God always has a plan to bring us out. And we need an attitude like the Apostle Paul. He said, whether I live unto the Lord. Whether I die unto the Lord. Whether I live or whether I die, I am the Lord's. What can you do with a man like that? Hell knew who Paul was. And the demons cried out to the 7 sons of Sceva and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? That's one of the greatest compliments the devil could ever give you, and that is for hell to know who you are. And hell will fight you over who you are. Let me say that again. Hell will fight you over who you are in Christ Jesus. Did you know that the devil does not have to recognize who you are until you figure out who you are in Christ? But when you find out who you are in Jesus Christ, then the devil has to recognize who you are. And you've heard me say it many, many times before. When the devil knows that you know, the devil knows he's got to go. Oh, he may fight you. He may, he's a short time strategist, though. I tell you that. I found that out about him. He's not in it for the long haul when it comes to you. What you got to do is suit up and take authority in the name of Jesus. See, hell will fight you over who you are in Jesus Christ. Now, when Paul was saved on the Damascus Road, the miracle of salvation took place. But later, Paul, he gets on the cross himself, and the miracle of identification took place. See, until you realize how you are identified with Christ in his death, his burial, his resurrection, and in his glory right now at this moment, then you will never be who God has called you to be. But when you recognize and identify yourself with Jesus Christ and the work of the cross, hell will fight you over who you are. Paul knew who he was, and he knew who he belonged to, and he knew what had taken place in his heart. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2 and 20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. He got up on the cross with him. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. I'm identified with him, he said. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. Hallelujah. See, Paul was crucified. He was dead. And then he added, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. See, Christianity is the only religion in the world where a man's God comes to live inside of him. The mystery that God had hidden for ages is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Bible says you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will walk in them, I will dwell in them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So Paul, he no longer wrestled with the flesh. He was dead to sin, he was dead to the world, and he was dead to the lust thereof. He was a new creation in Christ, and now he wrestled against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. He wrestled against the darkness of the world. And church, that's what we're in. We're in a fight, and we're not wrestling flesh and blood. And the devil has come down in great power. He's trying to destroy you, to destroy the church. He's trying to destroy this nation. But Jesus is the commander in chief. And he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So no matter what you're going through, look for the rainbow, because you're going to win. Hallelujah. Go on, praise God. Does that shed any light on why the demon said, and Paul I know? See, Paul was known in hell. And if you're going to live godly in this present world, you're going to suffer persecutions. You're going to suffer trials because you are known in hell. And the devil will fight you. I'll tell you that. He will fight you over who you are in Jesus Christ. See, the devil senses when something major is about to take place and something major is going on in the spirit world. So just before a major breakthrough, the storms come. So that ought to encourage you. I've had so many people deny me things and so many people criticize me and try to keep me from achieving things in my life. One time the Lord spoke to me. I was having a little pity party because somebody had hurt me real deep. And the Lord spoke to me and said, no man is above the master. He said, if you're going to rule with me and reign with me, he said, you're going to have to suffer some things with me. And then he said, no man is above the master. He said, if they persecuted the prophets which were before you, they will also persecute you. So when persecution comes my way, I said, praise God, I know I'm a prophet. I've had so much out of that bucket. And I know that I am called, and I know I am sent to proclaim God's word, and I'm not going to keep it in these four walls. I'm going to blast the social media with the gospel. I'm going to tell people all about Jesus, and I'm going to talk about our nation and that we need to return to God, and we need to return to biblical standards, and we need to lift up our president. We need to lift this nation up, because right now the battle we're going through, it is a battle of good against evil, and the devil is trying to win, but God's got a church, and the church is alive, and the church is full of power, the church is full of glory, the church is full of anointing. You have an anointing from the Holy Ghost. Go on and praise God. You are who God said you are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, just before that major breakthrough, all hell is going to break loose on you. That means that the greater the storm, the greater the indication that the devil senses that you're about to get your breakthrough. And here's what you need to see. The reward is not at the beginning. The reward is not in the middle. The reward is at the end of your storm. Somebody shout, come on, praise God. Hallelujah. It's on the other side of the storm. You heard it said, the bigger the giant, the harder he falls. So when you face a Goliath, just stand up and stand in the power of God and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm more than a conqueror. No weapon formed against me shall ever prosper. God always causes me to triumph in Christ. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even my faith, and my faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will bring me out of the storm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, when you're going through the storm, the devil is trying your faith. And you can always recognize him. All you got to do is listen very closely. He's that negative voice that you hear that tries to discourage you, that tries to stop you, that's trying to keep you from the plan that God has for your life. He's the one who tells you that you're not going to make it. But my Bible says that he is a liar and the father of lies. See, life has its storms. But I want to tell you something. The devil is not in charge of anything. He doesn't even have the keys to his own house. Jesus stripped the devil of his power, made a show of him openly, triumphed over him, and snatched the keys of death and hell away from him, and gave the keys of the kingdom to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb. You see, the devil is limited. He is limited because God has limited him. He is subject to the name of Jesus when you invoke the name of Jesus. He is subject to the blood when you said, I claim the power of the blood. He is subject to your authority that God has given you in the name of Jesus Christ as a child of the living God. The devil is limited simply because God has limited him. And God has promised you that no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. And that's why, you know, you have to watch what you say. And I have to do it at times. Sometimes I just have to call my words back. You know, the devil wants you to say things like, I can't succeed, I'm not able, and I don't think I'm going to make it this time. Well, praise God. I remember when I was going through my storm, I got a picture of me when I was a young man. Look at that. It's about 10 years down the road now. And I put that thing on the refrigerator, and I would look at it, and I'd tell my wife, I said, that's how I see myself. Full of strength, full of power, full of vitality. I am who God said I am. Hallelujah. I can do what God said I can do. I'm more than a conqueror through him. Whether I live unto the Lord. And whether I die unto the Lord. But whether I live, I am the Lord's. And I'm so happy to be in the army of the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Glory to God. See, if you're going to make it through the storm, you've got to develop an I can do attitude. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Glory to God. See, God gives us some great, incredible promises in this book. And he gives those promises to us to act as an anchor when we're going through the storms of life. God knows that you're going to face rejection. God knows that you're going to be misunderstood. God knows that sometimes your best friend and your family will turn and walk away from you. So God gives us promises, and those promises, they act as an anchor. And they're there to hold us real steady in the storms of life. Now, Paul was in the storm of his life. In Acts chapter 27, he was on a merchant ship, and they were headed to Rome. And he'd already told them, don't go out there. He said, there's storms ahead. See, he was a prophet. He was an apostle. He was an evangelist. He was a pastor. He was a teacher. He was a preacher. He had gifts just flowing out of his fingers, but he was in a storm. Hallelujah. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was called of God to preach the everlasting gospel. He's the man that was caught up in the third heaven. I mean, this man was somebody else, but he's in a storm. And while he's in the storm, that little boat's out there on the sea is cracking and popping. It's about to break to pieces. And Paul slips alone, and Paul talks to the Lord, his God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, said, Paul, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Have you seen this? No sun, there's no moon, there's no stars. Be of good cheer. See, he goes back on the deck of that boat, and he tells all those people, 276 souls, the Bible says. See, he was a soul winner. He didn't come to back down. He come to preach the gospel knowing God would back him up. Hallelujah. I said God will back you up. I said God will back you up. Hallelujah. You don't have to back down when God's backing you up. Some people will call you hypocrites. They say you can be so stupid, and they lace it in such a way that you know, it makes you wonder, is that what they're really saying to me? And then they get out, and if you don't agree with them politically, I don't agree with anybody politically. I agree with this book right here. I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're a Republican. I'm not either one of those. I'm Jesus' man, but I'm for righteousness that exalts a nation, because sin is a reproach to any people. And we're in a storm, and I'm going to stand up and give the clarion call. God said, I made you a watchman on the wall. I don't want you to be like a dog with no bark. Are you going to bark, or are you going to tell the people the storm is coming? Are you going to tell the people that righteousness exalts the nation? Are you going to tell the people that we don't need to kill little babies? Are you going to talk the word of God? Are you going to have a little religious demon spirit on you and back down and be political about everything? No, I'm going to preach the truth of the word of God. The prophet's never been like. The prophet will never be like. And if you're going to prophesy, and if you're going to speak the word of truth, then people are going to despise you. But that comes with the territory, because I'm in real good company. The prophets of old and Jesus, they nailed him to a cross. Hallelujah. But I'm going to preach the truth. Glory to God. I feel a little preach coming on. Hallelujah. See, God has promised us victory, church. So when you're going through the flood and through the fire and through the waters, just know this, they will never overtake you. Paul gets on board that ship, and he says, be of good cheer. And he said, the angel of the Lord, whose I am and who I serve, he stood by me. And he told me that we're all going to make it. Just stay in the boat. I want to tell you, church, you're going to make it. Stay in the boat, the good old gospel ship. Hallelujah. Keep your anchor, yourself anchored in the local church. If you're watching by Facebook Live, come on out here. Praise God. If you got problems, we will pray for you, and God will deliver you. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Can I get an amen? Can I get a good amen? Hallelujah. Paul said, we're all going to make it. Just stay in the boat. The Bible says some on boards and some on broken pieces, but they all made it to the shore. Hallelujah. See, sometimes it seems like trouble hits us on every side, but God has promised us victory. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm with you always. So look for the rainbow. See, the storms of life coming. They're going to come. No one is exempt. That's because we're on the enemy's territory. And if you will live godly in this present world, you are a potential threat to Satan's kingdom if you are suited up with the whole armor of God on. I look at that, Sister Joan, you say, well, look, look at her. Well, guess what? She's in church. God has brought her through so many storms, and she is a threat to the devil's kingdom. Amen. Her husband, Bud Tedder, sitting right beside her. They are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. They are charter members. I believe Brother Joey, he was there as a young boy, if he's not a charter member. Their family, charter members. But see, they affect an entire generation. And now another generation is coming. And so God puts us in strategic places where he plants us there to be his light, to be his voice. And so she's suited up, and Brother Bud's suited up, and Brother Joy, they're all full of the Holy Ghost. And so you are a threat to the devil's kingdom. But you need to know who you are in Christ. I need to know it, and I have to keep reminding myself, because this is not a game, my friends. The devil hates you, and the devil hates anybody that will stand up for Jesus Christ. And if the devil cannot get you, guess what? He will go after your family, and you'd better believe it. He senses when something is about to happen in the spiritual atmosphere. So tell the devil, in the name of Jesus, you cannot have my children. Devil, you cannot have my marriage. You cannot have my health, devil. I tell you, he was wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. With his stripes I am healed. I'm not trying to be healed. Jesus has already conquered you. He's already paid redemption's price. I was saved. All I had to do was accept Jesus as my Savior. I'm healed, and praise God. All I got to do is appropriate my healing by faith, because he did it at the cross, and the Holy Ghost has been sent to the church to give witness to the work of the cross. He does not speak of himself, but Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me, and the Holy Ghost will give witness to the work of the cross. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. You see, too many Christians, they give the devil the ammunition to shoot them. They say things like this: Lord, why are you letting this happen in my life? Lord, why won't you help me? Lord, where are you? Well, God's where he's always been. The Bible says the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah. And God is in control. And all God wants us to do is use our faith and the weapons that he has given to us, because we're in combat. So whip out the sword of the Spirit, the sword that the Spirit wields. Now, you know, I saw that in one translation. When you take the word of God and say it's written, it is written. And every time you take a promise of God, the Holy Ghost, he takes the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and he begins to wield it in the spirit world. And just keep chopping the devil down. Just keep telling him who you are, and tell him that you are who God said you are, and you have what God said you have, and you can do what God said you can do, and you can do all things through Christ. You've just got to have an I can do attitude. I can't do it in my flesh. Oh no, I'm not flat wrestling flesh and blood. I'm fighting against demon spirits and powers of darkness, and the devil's a spirit. And the devil, he doesn't have any blood. So the first thing I pull out after I pull out the name of Jesus, I pull out the blood. Hallelujah. Devil, you ain't got no blood. That's not good English, but it's good preaching. Devil, you ain't got no blood. Jesus shed his blood at Calvary. That blood was shed for me. I've been washed in the blood. I've been cleansed by the blood. The blood has been applied to my heart. Look, devil, hallelujah, you're subject to the name of Jesus. God loves me. He spared not his own son to save me. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to punish you with my praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Ricky, for those songs this morning. I raise a hallelujah. Let's give Jesus a standing ovation. Come on. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. Whip out some praise. Glory to God. You're a child of God. You're on your way to walls of jasper, gates of pearl, streets of pure, transparent gold, a crystal river. Hallelujah. As not seen, is not heard. It's not even in it, the hearts of man, the things God has prepared for those that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. Hallelujah. Receive your miracle. Reach up and touch the Lord as he's passing by. Oh God, I release your miracle working power. Jesus, you can do anything. All we have to do is believe. And I believe God. Just like Paul said, I believe God. It shall be just like the angel of the Lord told me. Hallelujah. Woo! Look for the rainbow. My Lord. See, hell will fight you over what heaven says about you. My Lord. That's why when Jesus was on his 40-day fast in the wilderness, the Bible says the devil came to him. And notice the first thing that the devil said to Jesus. He said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you are. But you see, Jesus knew who he was. And Jesus, I can just hear him telling the devil, I don't have to prove to you who I am. I know who I am. And the devil knew who he was too. Amen. See, Jesus knew who he was. And I believe that God looking for people in his kingdom in these last days that know who they are in Christ. We're not here to play church. I am here to suit you up to preach the word of God so the Holy Ghost can help you and he can help me. Because it's not by power, it's not by might, it's not by Pastor Nelson or the International Pentecostal Holiness Church or any organization. It is by the Spirit of the living God. I'm so glad Jesus got a hold of me before religion did. Hallelujah. Go on, praise God. Amen. God does not want his people to be intimidated by the storm. Jesus knew who he was. So he gets into a boat one day and he said, let's go to the other side. Now I want you to watch this. Jesus gets into the boat. He's on his way to the other side to an area called Gadara. This is a place where the Jews were raising pigs, unclean animals, and the Jews were forbidden to eat them. They could not eat them, they could not touch them, and they surely could not raise them. So the whole area was controlled by an unclean demon spirit. And the first person that Jesus met when he got there was a demon-possessed man, because the whole region was hell by the unclean spirit. See, the Jews, they were to worship in Jerusalem. And Manasseh and one other tribe, the Gadarenes, they said, when they were going to take the promised land, two of the tribes, they said, we want our land on this side. And they said, okay, you can have land here, but you're going to have to help us take and conquer the rest of it. See, that's what God's people need to do in these last days. They need to come together as one. And the only way you can do that in this world of confusion we live in is to take this book and to say, this is what God's word says, and this is who I am in Christ. I'm a doer of the word, not a hearer only, and I'm breaking my connections with anything that is against this word, contrary to this word. I'm not going to be held by a religious spirit. I'll just call it a religious demon. Because that's what it is. Some people, they are so politically minded, you know, that they're no earthly good. They say, you're so spiritually minded, Jerry, you're no earthly good. Let me tell you something. I am spiritually minded, but I am some earthly good too. Hallelujah. Because I know I'm not of this world. I'm in this world, and I got to make a difference in this world. You got to make a difference. God called you to make a difference. Go and make a difference, praise God. And let the world know that America was raised up by God, that our Constitution gives us certain inalienable rights to life. Not killing little babies, life, liberty, that I have liberty, praise God, to say what I want to say, go where I want to go, do what I want to do, long as it's within the confines of the law, amen, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. How in the world can you pursue happiness if you get killed as a little baby coming out of your mother's womb or in her womb? And then they'll kill you now. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. I said, yes, they will. They'll kill you. You cannot vote for that party. They will kill you. They will kill you. You better believe it. They'll kill a little baby. They'll kill you. I saw little children in Vietnam with arms and legs missing. My heart went out to them. I could never kill a little baby like that. But I tell you what, those politicians will kill you. They'll kill their grandmother just to get in control of this nation again. I said they'll kill a grandmother. Now, if you don't like that, I'm sorry, because I'm under the anointing, and I'm sent by God to proclaim and help this nation, praise God, my little corner of it anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. See, the storm didn't bother Jesus, because he knew who he was. He knew who his Father was, too. Too many times we worry about the storm, but the reward is at the other end of the storm. Sometimes the storms come to fulfill a greater purpose in your life. I look back at some of the storms that I've gone through. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a law called Romans 8:28. If you want to put that up, Romans 8:28. It's the law. It says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And when I was first saved, God was so good to me. I mean, I just got in this book. And I saw that. I said, God, how in the world could this be working to my good? God, don't you know everything around me? My whole life is messed up. I've been saved, but God, I'm in big, big trouble. I'm in a mess. And one day I was reading the Bible, and I got parallel translation. One of them said, for we know that in everything, God is able to work it to our good. I said, wow, that makes a whole lot more sense. No matter what I'm going through, God is able to work it to my good. And as I look back on my life, and I look at the victories that God has given to me, because I sought him, that there are many things I cannot do, because they affect so many people. And you may not understand that until you get into a position of leadership. But there are things our president has to do, because he has to bring this nation together. And they say, oh, how did I even get on this? I was trying to stay off of it. They try to say he's brought division to this country. No, he hasn't. There's another party that has brought division. And they, anytime they say he did this, he did this, he did that, just know one thing, they are already doing it. They are liars. They is the lionest bunch I has ever heard. I mean, they are pathological liars. They'll tell you one thing one day and another thing another day. And they think I don't have a brain that I can't remember. I don't need a rerun from Fox. I don't need a rerun from CNN. I don't need a rerun from anybody. That thing reruns in my brain over and over again. I got a real keen mind. I can remember poems when I learned when I was in the second grade. I didn't try to learn them. My brother was 2 years ahead of me in the fourth grade. He had to learn, here's to the land of the longleaf pine, the us from a land where the sun does shine. Where the weak grow strong and the strong grow great. Here's the down home, the old North State. Here's to the land where the cotton blooms white. Where the scuppernons perfume the breeze at night. Where the soft southern moss neath the jessamine mate meet the memoring pine of the old North State. Here's to the land where maidens are fairest, where friends are truest, and cold hearts are rare. The near land, the dear land, whatever our fate, the best land, the blessed land, the old North State. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank God for this state and thank God for America. Thank God for a mind that can remember it's a precious gift from God. Don't let that crowd of devils con you. They got the same agenda they've always had. God help me preach. Hallelujah. God said, be not, don't think it strange concerning these fiery trials which try you. As though some strange thing has happened to you. See, the storms don't surprise God. Nothing surprises God. So you got to learn that even in the storm, we got to trust Him. The storm is real. The storm has power. But the storm is not all powerful. God is all powerful. And the name of Jesus carries all power. And the cross assures us of our victory. And the blood enforces our redemption. Look for the rainbow. Let me show you a promise that belongs to every child of God. Psalms 107 verse 28. It says, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distress. I love this verse. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. That promise belongs to you as a child of God. He will calm every storm. Look back when you first got saved. God hasn't failed us yet. He will never fail us. Most of us, when we got saved, we had been devastated by the storms of life. We were all in a mess. At least I was. I want you to look at Ephesians 2 and 4. This is beautiful and following. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He has loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened or made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And look at this, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. See, God loves you, and God will deliver you from the storm. I close with this. We have often misunderstood our storms, but I can promise you one thing. God will outlast your storm. Storms come in all sizes, but here's what I want you to see. The reward is not at the beginning of the storm. The reward is not in the middle of the storm. The reward is on the other side of the storm. So somewhere between your problem and your breakthrough, you're going to experience some storms in life. So here's the question. Will you quit? Will you turn around and go back to the other side? Or will you press on through the storm? Paul faced some mighty storms. He said, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind me and reaching forth to the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Jesus Christ, my Lord. So, the greater the storm, the greater the victory. The reward is at the end. I thought I had finished this sermon, and this morning I was just meditating, and the Lord reminded me of the rainbow. You know, the word bow is used in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the word rainbow is only used in the King James Version of the Bible twice. But listen to this. This is a picture of the church, the open door, and the rapture. John said, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, I will show you things which must be hereafter. He said, immediately I was in the spirit. And behold, a throne was set in the heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And that was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. Let us stand. I'm going to encourage you, look for the rainbow, because that bow represents the covenant. And God said there's no storm that's ever going to overcome you. And that the Spirit spoke to me this morning and said, look at when the church is called out. We're closer to the end than we have ever been. So don't be discouraged. Don't be weary in well-doing. Just know this. Look up. Because your redemption draweth nigh. Pastor Ricky.
He is here. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
He is here.
I'm so glad to be saved.
He is here.
Storms all around us.
Holy, holy.
But he maketh the storm a calm.
His name again. He is here.
Listen closely.
Listen closely.
Hear him calling out your name. Touch him,
you will never be the same.
Hallelujah. Glory.
If
there's anybody watching up by Facebook Live, if you don't know this Jesus I've been preaching about, he sits on the throne today. He wants to sit on the throne of your heart. If you're in this church and you don't know Jesus, he wants to become your Savior and Lord of your life. So if you've slipped away from God, I invite you to come. These altars are always open. And if you've ever been saved, you have an advocate. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you that you don't belong to God. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. The prodigal, the father was standing looking for him to come home. Hallelujah. And when he saw him, the only time we ever see God running, it's a picture of God the Father running. He saw the prodigal and he ran to him and embraced him. Put a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, a clothing. Hallelujah. Said, kill the fatted calf. Said, we're going to celebrate. My child has come home. Hallelujah. Woo! I was that prodigal. Were you? I wandered far away from God, but he took me back. Took me in, saved me.
Holy,
hallelujah.
I will bless
Pastor Nate.
His name again.
He is here. Listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. Can you hear him? Bible says God remembered Noah. And guess what? God remembers you. God remembers me.
Never be the same. He is here.
Hallelujah. Father, we're so thankful that we can gather in your house with people of like precious faith. And Lord, we can draw the Spirit from your throne of grace and from one another. Lord, we thank you for the church. I pray, God, that you will raise up a strong church all across America. God, we're in the last days, and you said, I'm going to pour out the former rain and the latter rain in the same season. And God, we believe your word. I believe a great revival, a spiritual awakening is coming to this nation, God. Lord, I pray for our president. I pray for Reverend Franklin Graham, Lord. I pray for that prayer meeting, that march that's going to be September 26th, Lord, from noon to 2 p.m. in Washington, D.C. Lord, I'm going to plan a prayer meeting that Saturday here at this church. Lord, many of us can't make it to Washington, D.C., but we can come to the house of God and we can pray together from 12 to 2. Lord, we're going to do our part. We just believe it. And I'm inviting the churches across America. Tell the other churches, if you can't go to Washington, D.C., come. Come to the house of God. Assemble together. Pray for this nation. Pray. Pray like you've never prayed. Praise God. God wants us to give us the victory. But he said, I've given you the keys. I've given you votes. I've given you things to do. So you do the things you should do according to my word. Let my word be the standard that guides you. It is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. Glory to God. Sing it, Pastor Ricky. Let's sing, church, and worship our God.
He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I'll bless his name again.
Hear him calling out my name.
Hear him calling out my name. He is.
I can touch him.
I can touch him.
I'll never be the same. I'm looking for the rainbow.